Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Hello.
Thank you.
And that was Mona Garcia from her CD, Personal Journey. And you can find more of Mona's music at MonaGarciaMusic.com. And we thank her for letting us play her songs on this show, Supernatural Radio. And thanks for joining me tonight, you guys. Actually, my guest tonight, I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. His name is John Andrews. He goes also by Loud Boy. The band, his band is Loud Boy. And he's a songwriter and a composer, and I have an interesting story about him after I tell you a little bit more. He's a New York City-based guitarist, singer, and composer, hailing from Auburn, Massachusetts, where as a teenager he studied with jazz guitarist and director of jazz studios at WPI, Rich Falco. Studying with Rich at Clemente Music Studio in Worcester proved to be the perfect musical environment for the young guitarist's growth, not just artistically, but also personally. It was then that John got the opportunity to move to New York City to attend the prestigious New School Jazz Program. It did not take very long before John fell in love with both the school and the music scene in New York City. He's an international touring guitarist, having performed shows throughout the United States, Europe, and Japan. He's a longtime member of the New York City band Botanica, and since 2006, he has been a constant member of the Nina band. In 2011, he started his own band, Loud Boy, to showcase his talents as a singer and songwriter. And we're going to talk to John about his songwriting techniques, what inspires him and all that. And with that, I'm welcoming John Andrews. Hey, John.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound great. As I was telling John a couple minutes ago, we're having a little bit of issue here on BTR with the sound, but we're going to roll with it and see how far we can go. So first off, Nina, is this 99 Red Balloons, Nina?
That would be the balloon chick, Nana, yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God. You know what? Do you remember, John, growing up and watching that video on MTV all the time?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like one of the first videos that they would show. So that was in pretty heavy rotation back then.
Yeah. So what is she doing now? Just out of curiosity.
Well, she's still releasing albums. I've joined her band in 2006. And, God, in that time, I think we've released like 5 studio albums, a live album, a live DVD. So, I mean, she has a lot of hit songs in Germany that, you know, after Left Balloons. And so she's still, you know, playing in front of large audiences and touring and making records.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That is really cool. Is
yep.
that why you were just in Germany?
Yeah, actually, I was over there doing a few shows with Nana, and I had 3 shows as well with Botanica in Dortmund, Germany. Paul Walfisch, who's the singer of Botanica, Paul and I have, you know, really written a lot of songs together over the last 10 years. And so we, you know, had a kind of like a little bit of a reunion and played a few shows with Budgie from Susie and the Banshees. He was playing drums with us, and it was great.
Cool.
It was a ton of fun. Yeah, we did some shows with Giant Sand and with John Parrish, so it was really great musicians and a very, very, very fun show and great hang.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, John,
yep.
Now, as a musician, I've been surrounded by musicians my whole life. My father was in the music business since I was a little girl. I have always gone out with musicians, blah, 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 right? But as a musician now, how hard is it to actually, none of the kids are buying CDs. They're not buying the music. They're getting it for free. How
right.
difficult has this been for you? I mean,
well,
it's an issue.
I feel, you know, slightly fortunate that, you know, I'm basically established myself as a guitarist. You know, if I was just relying on my own music to make a living, it would be very hard, you know, because, I mean, what you're saying is so true. People just don't buy records anymore, so you're essentially having to perform live to, you know, generate your income. And, you know, because everybody's doing it that way, it's harder to get booking agents, it's harder to get gigs. But, you know, that being said, I have a lot of connections from the people that I've played with over the years, so that comes in, you know, and is very helpful in the process. But I think it's tougher for the younger musicians, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I'm an author myself. I'm a writer. And, I mean, I know, even as being my type of artist, how hard it is to break into any, you know, to break it where you're actually making a living at your
right.
art. And so when I, you know, I think a girl said, I was at Lizzie Borden's the other night, and this girl said, so what kind of advice would you give to a writer just starting out? And I said, get another job. Because
yeah, it's tricky. No. I mean, when people come to me with that advice, you know, when they ask me how to make a living, you know, essentially I just give the advice that I gave myself. Just get busy playing with as many things as you can, and hopefully through that process you wind up with enough things that pay, and, you know, just try to continue with that sort of mentality. But, you know, it's a tricky thing because a lot of the music that I really love, you get paid. You know, so it's
right.
It's always tricky, but I think, you know, if you love it, you find a way.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, you see the bands coming out now, and, I mean, I don't want to be so critical, but I will be anyways, because seriously, let's talk about analog versus digital. Now, when things were recorded in analog, of course, you know, there was more life to it, in my opinion. So the bands coming out now and the music coming out now, like, for instance, John, I was looking up Loud Boy, and there's a Loud Boy rap band.
Right, and yeah, that's right.
John, it was so funny. I clicked on the song because I'm like, wait a minute, is this an MP3 I can download? Oh, my God. So it starts out, it's just, you know, really raunchy lyrics. I'm like, okay, I don't think that's it. And but I mean, really, it's like, there is great music coming out. I'm not going to say that there's not still, but,
right.
Excuse me, but people that make it are just so shallow. And I'm sorry. I mean, that might be judgmental, but from my opinion, you know, these
it's definitely a different time, because I think, you know, before artists had time to develop and release a few albums before a label expected you to, you know, be writing hit songs. Now you really have one shot. And, you know, a lot of things that have gone on culturally in pop music as well, you know, I think that, like, if you look at the 70s, 80s, 90s, through the early 2000s, well, maybe not so much then, but the songwriting, the craftsmanship of writing songs was at a much higher level. I mean, if you go back and listen to pop radio from the 70s, every week there was a classic song coming out, a song that was timeless. So the bar was set so amazingly high that people were crafting these unbelievable songs. And I think it's just not like that anymore. So now people are more concerned, I think, a bit more with the sonics, like the sound of a song, you know, like getting the low-end frequency a certain way so people will dance to it and get excited. So it's not like people are not writing pop songs. They're still writing pop songs, but to me it's just the craftsmanship's just maybe not of the same quality.
Right, and a lot of people don't even, you know, the bigger stars don't even write their own songs, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of co-writes now. I think that, you know, a lot of songs have like 10 writers or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I want to just remind people listening that, and again, we are interviewing John Andrews, who's a musician, and his band currently is Loud Boy, and he's also in a bunch of other bands. Check out the show page. But I had a dream that, and the reason why John is on the show tonight is because I had a dream that I was in an office setting, and there was a woman, and I really want to talk to you about this, John. There was a woman who I was having coffee with, and she, you know, she had like shoulder length, sort of light brown hair, I guess. And she was talking to me. I was trying to be friendly with the new people because I was going to be working in this office, even though I probably would never be working in an office. But in the dream, I was, you know, trying to be friendly with her, and she started telling me about a composer that made her sad or upset or made her feel something. She goes, you probably never heard of him. And I was thinking composer like Mozart or something like that. And I said, well, what is his name? She said, John Andrews. And I said, oh, I haven't ever heard John Andrews, you know. So then, of course, I get up and I Google your name. And I Google John Andrews composer, and you're the first one that comes up. And I said, oh, what does this mean? Does this mean something? So I reached out and I asked you to be on the show. And it, coincidentally, I am also in Massachusetts. I know you're from Auburn.
Yeah.
I'm in the Springfield area. And,
oh, really?
So it's, yeah. So, and, you know, of course, you know, I go, when I go anywhere, I go to New York City a lot and see bands and, you know, have a bunch of musician friends all around. But anyway, so I thought it was interesting. So do you know a girl that looks like that?
Oh, yeah, several. But I don't know who it could have been. I mean, do you remember maybe a was there any name or maybe eye color?
No, I don't remember. It just she was wearing a suit, John. You know?
Right.
And working in the office, like a really high end office. And so I don't know. It's very I don't know. I have a lot of dreams, but I just thought, well, maybe that happened, or he knows somebody, or he broke some girl's heart that is that girl. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's happened for sure. But, you know, there's a few friends of mine that seem to, you know, sort of shine it on much brighter than other people. So, you know, there could be one of those women. But it's interesting that you're out in the Springfield area, because I grew up in East Longmeadow, or actually lived there until I was 5, and then moved to, to Auburn. No, it was right there. And actually, a couple months ago, I went back there for the first time since, you know, God, I don't even remember the last time I went out there to visit. It would have been the early 80s or something. So I was just out in that area not too long ago.
Wow.
But I don't know who... I don't know who the woman could be. It could be my friend Morley Kamen, because she's definitely, you know, shining it on, as I would say.
What does that mean, shining it on?
Oh, a good friend of mine always says that. He's, you know, don't deal with the crazies of the world. You know, just shine it on. Just shine on all the good energy.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
So, like, how, you know, your song lyrics are very good, and your songs are great. We're going to play one of your songs in a minute. And how do you get inspiration? I know this is such a typical question for artists, but how do you get inspiration to write? What gives you inspiration?
Well, quite a lot of things. I mean, most of the time what I'll do is just sit down with the guitar, and I'm not really thinking about writing or thinking about anything in particular. And, you know, I'll just come up with a cool idea or riff, and I'll record it. And, you know, every so often I'll go back and listen to all these ideas that I have, you know, maybe it's like 1 minute, or maybe another one's 15 minutes, and just kind of go through and make a playlist of all these different ideas. And while I'm traveling around, I'll listen through them. And the ones that grab me, the ones that keep sticking in my head, then I'll go back and usually re-record it, make a better sounding demo, and then, you know, continue the process up until making a record. Sometimes, you know, the music comes first, sometimes the lyrics come first, sometimes they, most of the time I think it happens together. I'll be playing guitar and singing kind of gibberish, you know, nonsense, and just coming up with melody ideas. And then later I'll go back and just sort of sift through the nonsensical lyrics. And God, I got to say, a lot of the time I'll find lyrics in there from that. I like doing it that way because I feel like it's coming from the subconscious and I'm not thinking of it so much.
Right. Now, the song we're going to listen to right now, it's called Reimagine. Do you have a story behind this song?
That song kind of, I think the genesis for that idea was when I was in Iceland. I've been there a few times, and I really wanted to try to capture that feeling that I had when I was there, of this, you know, vast panoramic, wide open spaces, and, you know, this majestic beauty from the nature there. And the lyrically, it was actually a couple different sets of lyrics that I combined together because it just seemed to fit nicely and fit really nicely with the music. You know, I think lyrically it's definitely touching on a bit of some esoteric themes and, you know, also just some simple things of you know, how we act and our personalities and things like that. Yeah, mainly I was just trying to go for like a, you know, wide open panoramic kind of vibe.
Right. Well, I've been to Iceland too a few times, and I thought it was funny that, you know, you watch the news there and like, oh, they moved some boulder downtown or something, right? And it's like,
right.
This is news.
Yeah, the first time I was there, there was an article on the front page of the newspaper in Reykjavik talking about how they had spoken with the elves and that they were going to be able to expand this highway and they were going to move one of the elf villages. It's like, I love this place, I'm moving here.
I know, and you probably encountered that you got to drive out of the way like a bunch of miles because the elves, you can't cut straight through. Like,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
a
definitely.
Highway or
definitely.
Yep. Funny. But, you know, it was cool, though. It is a beautiful country. Okay, so we're listening to right now Reimagine by John Andrews, and we'll be back after this. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. Thank you. And that was John Andrews with Reimagine. Beautiful song, John. What a beautiful song.
Thank you. Thank you.
It certainly does encapsulate what Iceland is like, you know, if you've ever been there. But so what other bands or music do you like? I mean, you started out as a jazz player, and then, but what are you really into? What bands would you say right now are like really good bands that you like?
Well, these days I'm really listening to a lot of older music. I mean, a lot of stuff from like the 30s, 20s, you know, like Robert Johnson and some early jazz stuff. And for current stuff, you know, I still really love Radiohead and the Pixies and Nirvana. I've always been a big fan of. And
yeah,
you know, for fairly new stuff, I don't know. I I tend to go back to the classics.
Right. Like I would say I still love all those bands you mentioned. Pixies,
right.
Oh my God, I love, love, love them. I love Nick Cave. Do you know Jim Soluno?
I do actually. I did a few gigs with Jim years ago with the singer Lisa Zane.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, he's a friend of mine, too. He's really such a cool guy, you know?
He's very close
anyway,
with Paul from Botanica. They're very close.
Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. And I know you played with, and I'm not sure if you're still playing with Brian, who was in Dresden Dolls.
Yeah, no, me and Brian are close friends. He played on the second Loud Boy album. And Brian played in Botanica for a few years, so we did a lot of touring together in Europe. And Paul, the singer of Botanica, he's been, or just recently left Dortmund, Germany. He was the musical director there at the Dortmund Schauspiel, which is like the Dortmund theater. And the director there is a good friend of ours, Kai Voges, who is actually... was just in New York. I think he might be in L.A. still. He's visiting the States right now. But, yeah, Kai's been a dear friend for a long time, and so he had asked Paul to be the musical director there. And we did a performance of Master and Margarita that ran for about a year. And, Brian Viglione was involved with that, so he was the drummer during that time. And, he's a great guy.
Yeah, no, he seems like he's really cool. You know, I saw the Dresden Dolls, you know, when they were together. So tell us, John, what's the scoop on Amanda Palmer?
You know, I don't know Amanda. I met her briefly before I had even met Brian, actually. I was down in Washington, D.C., doing a gig with this guy, Jamie Burke, who used to be a Calvin Klein model. So I don't even know how he got that gig, but... So we were down in D.C. playing at the 930 Club, and the Dresden Dolls were on the bill with us. And I think I talked to Amanda just for a second, like we, you know, while I was walking past her dressing room, and then wound up playing with Brian about a year later. But we never crossed paths with Amanda. I know she had heard the album that Brian did, you know, the Loud Boy album. The song you just played is actually from that record. So. The second album, Ultra MK, but never got to meet her during that time, unfortunately. But she did like the record and did some promotion for us, which I thought was really nice of her.
Yeah, that is nice. I just wondered why Brian left the band, because it was under the pretense, and I don't know if this was true or not, that he didn't want to travel. But he certainly sounds like he was traveling quite a bit with you, so... I don't know if
I don't really know. He never really mentioned what had happened. I was always just sort of under the assumption that Amanda wanted to do her own thing, but I'm kind of out of the loop with that. I have no idea.
All right. Well, yeah, she's whatever. I'm not even going to go into it. But John, as you can tell, I have a big mouth and an opinion, and I'm not afraid to share it.
Well, you have your own radio show, so you can voice it.
Yeah, I can voice it. Well, no, I mean, she she's married to Neil Gaiman, of course, now. And I ran into them at Nick Cave's show. And what I don't agree with her. And plus, something came out about how she raised all this money on Kickstarter and then wouldn't even pay the musicians that she was touring with and this kind
of
thing.
Yeah,
that's
always a weird thing. I'm not so keen on the you know, fan bridge or Kickstarter or whatever it is. To me, it's a strange platform. I know a lot of people need to do it to raise money for their projects, and honestly, I mean, I'll probably need to do it at some point as well, but I don't know. To me, it just seems strange to fleece the fans before you're even putting something out, you know? It seems very backwards.
Well, and then not to pay the musicians that you're touring.
Yeah,
with.
That's wrong. That's just wrong.
That's totally wrong. Yeah, I don't dig that at all. But anyways, okay, so we're going to listen to another one of your songs, and this is Rabbit and Turtle Take the City. What do you want to say anything about this song?
Oh, yeah, sure. The idea for this one lyrically was really just thinking about, you know, how we always seem to think that we're, you know, the dominant species on this planet, that you know, human beings are running the show. And the more I learn, the more that I see, I think it's quite the opposite. I'm almost convinced that every other living thing on this planet can communicate without having to open their mouth or whatever, and you know, that everything is sort of tuned in telepathically and that we're kind of on the outside. So the premise of the lyrics are really, it's a rabbit and a turtle, you know, kind of taking over the planet, you know, basically like animals taking over and kind of kicking people and our civilization out of the way. You know, I just get kind of fed up with the arrogance of humans, you know, thinking that we're the dominant species. I just don't see it that way. So this is so this is just kind of giving, you know, the animals the keys to run the show.
Right. So in that aspect, I ask this of most people that I talk to, John, why do you, like most people, you know, we talk about purpose of life, but do you think you have a purpose here, and what is it?
Well, I think we all do. I think that, you know, this gift that we have, this blessing of being alive on this planet, it's, you know, something that we should never take for granted. And, you know, I think that the intent of being here is really to live in a place that's, you know, like a Garden of Eden kind of environment. But unfortunately, you know, the way that we live with our egos and our pride, and, you know, we just don't see it that way. We become very narrow-minded and don't really understand that we're sharing this with everything. You know, that if there is a God, then I always believe that God is us and every other living thing, that every living thing is God. You know, whether it's a flower or a squirrel or a caterpillar or a bird or, you know, dolphin or whatever, I see it as we're all equal and we're all sharing this, and there's so much more adventure and love and life that we can take from this, but we just get caught up in this consumerism, this crazy idea of money and property and ownership. And, you know, I think that's the challenge, is to sort of take all this stuff that we built as a society and try to find a way to live around it and get back to what's real. And hopefully it's not too late for all of us to make the changes that we need to make, you know?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. I think God is everything that's alive. And I think that, and I've said this many times, that the bottom line is always love. And,
yeah, definitely. That's definitely the glue that's holding it all together.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's too late either, but I strangely have hope that it's not. So
yeah, me too. No, I keep, you know, my thing these days is really just telling everybody that, you know, it's, we got to be, you know, maybe it's because the new Star Wars movie is coming out, but it's like, we need Jedis. You know, it's like, Don't give in to the dark side. It's like, really, it's everybody's time to be a Jedi.
Right. Okay. And
you know, it's like the men who stare at goats kind of message.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about that later. But anyways, as you can probably tell, Supernatural Radio, I've been into the paranormal and supernatural and studying life after death for a couple of years now. And it's just, oh, my God, it's so interesting. Okay, so right now, John Andrews, Rabbit and Turtle, take, and we'll be back. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Take the City. Another great song, John. Excuse me. That's like kind
Thank
of bluesy,
you.
But I hear Beatles influence a little bit.
Definitely.
What a cool song. Thank you so much. So one of your purposes is obviously to put out music, to create music. I'm so glad that you're doing that because I can't stand when I meet musicians, right? And, you know, they're all like hot to make it when they're like 19, 20, 25, but then they get to be, you know, 30 and they're like working at banks. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
I, you know, some musicians are lifers and others are just posers, maybe.
there's a fair amount of those too, sure.
Yeah, I think it's important though to always to know that, like, you probably know inside yourself, you'll always be a musician, you'll always be a composer. There's nothing that's going to stop that, you know. No amount of challenges or whatever might happen to you is going to stop that. And that's the way I feel as a writer also, is that, yeah, I'm always going to create. I'm always going to write what I'm feeling and this type of thing, even though there's not a lot of money in it, but it's just something I'll always do. So I appreciate that you are living that dream, you know, of yours. So that's really cool. All right, so Manu Sarah Goats. Now, what do you believe in, like, first let me ask you, has anything paranormal ever happened to you?
Well, I think, you know, the more I open myself up to things, you see a lot of simple things that you might have overlooked and just taken for granted. I went to a place a few years ago in Italy called Damanhur, and it's basically like an esoteric school. They have an underground temple there that they built themselves with really, like, not many tools, and it's pretty crazy how they did this. But there's seven temples underneath. It's, God, I don't know how far down it is, but it's far enough down that you take an elevator to get there. And they, you know, showed me around the temples. I went there a few times. And while I was at this place, you know, I was like, man, there's all these coincidences happening, you know, like running into people that I had met at, like, maybe a day before, or, you know, the woman that I met on the train going there, and you know, I wound up in her house like a couple days later. And, you know, what I learned there was just that there aren't any coincidences, that all these things are supposed to happen. So if you know, just don't take things for granted and look at all the things that happen throughout the day with an open mind, it's surprising how many things are pretty incredible, you know, that we just kind of miss. We just don't see it because it seems like mundane or simple or something that happens every day. But, you know, I think a lot of those things we just take it for granted.
Yeah,
but, you know, as
and
far
it's
as,
almost
like
– go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say it's almost like we can't see things because, well, first of all, we're only human, but they are certainly there, and there's, like, you know, everything, you know. Who said, I think it was Einstein, either everything's a miracle or nothing is. I think it was Einstein.
Right.
I can't remember. But, you know, but the thing is, so many interesting things happen to us that we overlook, just like you said. That place sounds really cool, though, in Italy. I got to get the spelling of that because I want to look that up. There's also a place in Italy, a museum that is dedicated towards showing people reaching out from hell.
Wow.
Like, there's...
Wow.
I think it's like something Purgatorio or something. And like... They show books and stuff with, like, Bibles with, like, burned in handprints. Like, oh my God, help me! You know, I'm in hell.
Wow.
And now some people say this is hell, you know, and we can certainly see the hell that this place is at times.
Oh yeah, no, we got some nasty things in us, and there's certainly, you know, for everything good, there's something bad. So, I mean, there's both of those energies floating around in the universe. So, you know, that's why I was referencing the Force. It's like, be a Jedi or give in to the dark side. You know,
it's right.
Yeah, it's kind of true, really.
It is. I know. And, like, I have a guy that works for me, and I said, you know, you either, because he's so always on the negative rants about this going on and that going on. And, you know, it's one thing to complain, and it's another to actually do something about it. And I said, you know, you either rise above that and you be the light, or, not to sound hokey, or you sink into the black hole that is all this shit going on in the world, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, and you know, I practice over the last couple of years. I've been getting more and more into Zen Buddhism, and I go to a monastery very often that's nearby where I live in upstate New York, called Zen Mountain Monastery, which is in Mount Tremper, New York. And you know, the people that I've met there, they're incredible. But even more than that, just the simple act of sitting, you know, and just doing Zazen meditation. I think it just opens you up to a lot of things that are right there in front of you and that you always have at your disposal, but you just can't see it. Or like, I felt like I was just sort of blind to myself in a lot of ways. And, you know, what I'm finding more and more is that what we've learned when we go to school and, you know, the way that we're raised by our parents and, you know, a lot of it is just backwards. A lot of it is wrong. And, you know, what I'm finding now is that I you know, there is a lightness around everything if you want to perceive it, you know. And I think it's important to know that the media and the news and, you know, a lot of these things that are going on are just made to control you, you know, just made to pump fear into you and make you afraid. And it messes everybody up. You know, I mean, I've definitely had health issues from that, you know, from just being in the society that we live in. You know, and it's,
no kidding.
I think it's important. Yeah, I think it's really just important to slow down, de-stress, decompress, and really see what's going on around us with clear eyes, you know, to really try to wake up.
Yeah. And, you know, in that process of waking up, and I think there's more people that have our mindset than we realize too. And hard to see. It's hard to see when you're at the grocery store and the Kardashians, who are the most useless people, probably some of the most useless people on earth, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And, but why, you know, it's the society that props these idiots up and worships, just idiocy. It's like, you know,
yeah.
Seriously, you just got to question what the hell is going on, you know?
Yeah, really. I mean, we've kind of made it to the point now where it's like, if anybody does something and they do it really well, then people are looking for the dirt so that you can tear them down. And it's like, well, what is that? You know, it's because what people don't seem to understand is that if one of us does something really good, we all did something really good. If one of us did something really bad, we all did something bad. It's not like we're separate entities, you know, we're all connected. So it's like,
exactly.
We have to be mindful. You got to be mindful of that.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I totally agree. But, you know, of course, you know, like I said, people are people. I think, like I said, you know, we're only human and we see through human eyes, but
right.
We are indeed, we all have divinity within us and
Definitely.
Are capable of the, you know, rising above this, like, nonsense and hatred and fear. It's fear. There's so much fear. I love the poet Rainer Maria Rilke, and
mm-hmm.
I was reading the introduction to his Duino Elegies, which I love. I've read this book many times, and so. But John, the coolest introduction, at like the guy was introducing the book. I can't remember who it was, but at the end of the introduction and thank yous, he said the last line was, "And to you, love, for wintering out a hard-turned year." And I thought that was so beautiful, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
That whole book is beautiful, really. But I just, you know, so, you know, we are here to help one another. We're here, you know, to be, you know, not to sound like a hippie. I often sound like a hippie. I'm really not.
Kind of need more hippies at this point. More hippies, more jazz.
Right, right, right. But all the hippies have turned into yuppies at this point. Well, not yeah, all of them, but
definitely.
Some of them. But anyways, so again, we are interviewing John Andrews. He is in the band, he's in a few bands, Loud Boy. You can find him at loudboy.net. And there's a bunch of CDs and things that you can buy there. Check that website out. I put it in the chat room as well. And we're going to listen to another of John's songs, and it is called Hiding. Now, what's with Hiding, John?
This song, it's, you know, pretty personal. I think the lyrics came from a relationship that I was in with a woman who's, you know, still very dear to me. And it was a very intense, very romantic and very painful relationship with a woman from Germany. And we split from each other it was about 2009. And it took me a few years to really process the whole thing, of course. And so the lyrics came from that. I didn't really realize it at the time when I wrote it. I don't think I understood what it was about until probably about a year ago. And really, it's just me not being able to not show my emotions. I feel that I was cool with that when we were together, but this woman and I were so, you know, connected that I was careful to try to not feel too much when I wasn't with her, because I felt like she was picking up on things even still. And so I think that's where the hiding term came in, that I was trying to sort of, you know, quietly feel what I was feeling for this person without her picking up on it, in a sense. But, you know, I was at the same time trying to express how I felt, you know, because I felt there was a lot of misunderstandings in the relationship, especially at the end. So
do you feel now, yeah, and I know because most of us have been in a relationship like that. Not most of us, but some of us. And you feel, John, like, oh, my God, how could this not be what I thought it was in my heart? And why, you know what I mean? It's such a painful, I don't think there's anything, well, no, not anything, but heartbreak is just, so, oh, my God, you know?
Yeah,
it's just,
I mean, it's
freaking kill.
Yep, there's really no good way to go through it. You know, it's just one of those things you got to just figure it out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's funny because, like, when young people fall in love, not that I'm ancient, but I'm certainly not 20 anymore. But when they fall in love, they think nobody else ever felt this way before. You know, like,
right,
you don't know
right.
how I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny, you
exactly.
know?
Yes.
But
oh,
anyways,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and this relationship was a doozy in itself. It was definitely like, I don't think I'll ever come close to experiencing that kind of relationship again. But you never, you know, never say never. Who knows? I didn't think that
right.
would even come around once. So I feel blessed just for that.
Right, exactly. Okay, so this is John Andrews, and the song is Hiding. We'll be back in a minute, you guys. Thank you.
Bye.
That was John Andrews, Hiding. Oh, my God. What a great, beautiful song, John. Geez.
Wow, thank you.
Really,
thank you very
beautiful.
Much.
Yeah, and see, you needed that, right? You needed that inspiration, that heartache to create.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I also, anyone can write Hallmark cards, okay? But you really need... You need that, I don't know what you want to call it, but you need that tragedy, sorrow, separation to
really
create.
It's just that life experience, you know, it's like you got to go through it sometimes. And I mean, it was, you know, very painful, but from that you can create a lot of positive things.
Definitely, yeah. I remember... not to get into my rock and roll stories, but I'm cracked. Sorry, John, I'm laughing at myself. But when I was like 15 years old, before U2 was huge, I called Bono at his house. He still lived at his house. And I said, well, how, you know, and, you know, you could still call him at that point because no one really knew who they were. And I said, you haven't put out an album in a while. How come? And he says, well, we have to do some living before we can put life into our music. And, of course, the next album that came out was War, and it was all over. It was huge, you know what I mean?
So it was
funny. But so I know exactly what you're saying. You do have to do some living and experience things in order to create something that is worthy and you know, what touch your soul. Good writing, good songs, they spark something in you. And it's not finished in you, it's not finished when the song or the poem or the piece of writing is finished being read or listened to. It finishes inside you, and it sparks something. So, yeah, that's something we all strive for as artists. But so can I ask you, is your...
Sure.
I'm going to try to guess when your birthday is, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Were you born in March?
Close.
Okay, February,
yep.
Okay, so I was going to say February 1st, but I didn't. All right, I'm just going to take a wild guess, 20 seconds.
Pretty close, actually. My younger sister is the 23rd. I'm the 18th.
Okay. So you are an Aquarian.
Yes.
So am I. I am too.
Hey.
My birthday.
There you go.
John, you didn't know this was a dating game, did you?
I was hoping.
So my birthday is February 15th. So, I could say a million things about Aquarians, but whatever, you know, I mean, whatever.
Oh, come on, Aquarians are the best.
I think so. But they do say there's a fine line with the Aquarians. There's a fine line between genius and insanity. So.
Oh yeah, that's for damn sure, definitely. You know, they say that we're 15 years ahead of everybody else, but that doesn't really mean that things are so great.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And it's like if I'm years ahead of anyone, I'm so ahead that I'm behind because, I won't even get a new cell phone. I didn't even want to get a cell phone, but I had to. And I always go to the store and I'm like, you know, if mine breaks and I'm like, do you have this? They're like, this is ancient. You know, you can update to an iPhone. And I'm like, I don't want to. I just want this old thing. But anyways, it's fun. So, you know, how has being a musician, like how, you know, it's obviously taking you around the world. You've met so many cool people. Do you think, like, the music really has led your life? I mean, it has led you to different people, different situations. And so if there were any advice that you would give to musicians now, just starting out, what would it be?
really to make sure that, like what you just said was really right on the money, to always make it about the music. It's really easy when you're touring and when things are starting to go well, and you know, when the industry is behind you, it's really easy for things to get crazy and just get really sort of out of your grasp very quickly. When I was playing with Gavin DeGraw a few years back, that was right at the time when he had his first number one single, I Don't Wanna Be. And, you know, he was signed by Clive Davis. So, you know, there was a lot of pressure, and it was tough. I mean, I was only playing with him for a little while. It was about half a year, but we were on the road every single day of that time. And I think he was out for about 2 years in total during that time. And it's just really easy for the industry to get the best of you. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are around telling you things that, you know, maybe you shouldn't hear or shouldn't listen to. And I think, you know, you have to be grounded. You have to remember who you are. And you have to really, most importantly, above anything else, remember that it's only about the music. If you lose that, then you start to lose everything else. You really have to always keep that in perspective, because the music is why you're there, and it's the most important thing.
Right.
So
any young
musician, that would be my advice, to really make sure that you love music. If you're doing it to be a star, if you're doing it to be a celebrity, you probably shouldn't. Maybe, you know, be an actor or something else. You know, when I was studying with Rich Falco as a teenager in Worcester, and, you know, learning all my stuff and, you know, just getting it all together and soaking everything in like a sponge, Rich was great, because he was always like, look, man, like, when you realize that you got to pay your bills, you know, that you got to live, and, you know, just your day-to-day stuff, then you'll become a true musician, then you'll become a real musician. You know, it wasn't about the glitz and glamour and all those things. It was about really learning your craft so that you could be prepared for whatever comes your way and try to take advantage of that to its fullest. But, you know, I think you really have to have that deep, passionate love for music.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with that, because without it, it's like, yeah, just go on to something else, because you're never really going to, you know, be happy with what you create, you know?
I mean, you know, it's harder and harder to make money. And so you really have to just have that love for what you're doing, because sometimes that's all you're going to get. And honestly, mm-hmm. that has to be the most rewarding thing anyways. I mean, really it is. It's like playing a great gig or making a great album or recording a song. You get excited about that. I don't, you know, getting a check is nice, but it's not really the same thing, you know? Yeah.
Right. No, I know. Getting a check is a nice thing, but.
Yeah, totally.
But so tomorrow night is a blue moon. And,
yeah, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, traditionally what you're supposed to do, I guess, well, one of the things you can do during a blue moon is write out what you want to let go of, and then, you know, burn the paper outside or whatever. I mean, there's a bunch of different things that, you know, you can do during a blue moon that are supposed to help your life. But if you were going to write a list, John, of three things that you wanted to get rid of about yourself, what would those three things be?
I guess the first thing would be, well, you know, in my family, and I'm sure this is true with a lot of families, depression runs in my family. And so I would get rid of that, not just for myself, but everybody in my family. So that would be the first thing, you know, just to get rid of any kind of anxiety or stress that we all carry from, you know, just genetic stuff. So, you know, health-related things, would, that would definitely be the first. And, God, three things.
I guess, you know. Right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the second thing I guess would be pertaining to personal relationships and anything that I've done to my close friends or family to hurt them or you know, anything negative. And I guess the third thing would be that for myself, you know, really just any kind of anything that's keeping me from loving myself unconditionally. You know, I think that that should go away as well.
So you don't, and most of us don't love ourselves unconditionally, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, a lot of us think we do, and myself included. And then if you really, really look at your behavior, it's like, okay. Like, why did I just do that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's, you know, but the other thing is we got to give ourselves a break, too. I mean,
yeah, yeah, that's right.
We do the best we can. Most of us do the best we can.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't worry if, you know, you, like, I saw a friend yesterday and she's trying to stop drinking and she was
right.
mad at herself because she hasn't stopped drinking. And I said, don't, you know what, instead of looking at the huge picture, just go day by day, you know, and,
yeah.
you know, don't worry, you know, I mean, you can't stress yourself out. We're, none of us are perfect. We're all going to have some sort of something that we're dealing with that we're trying to, you know, overcome. But it's interesting, John, that you mentioned first that, you know, because that's actually my list will be for other people too, not necessarily
right.
for myself. But,
right.
you know, when I pray, I pray, just give me the means to help other people. Just give me the means
exactly.
and I will.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so that's all I ever want, you know? But anyway, so it's just, but so Blue Moon. Yeah. Okay. So Elementary, that's the next song we're going to listen to. And by the way, I want to thank Chris from Curious Times. She is actually, I'm on her line right now. She's doing this for me because when I tried to call into BTR, it wasn't working. So Chris was kind enough really to help me download these songs and call me on her line so I could do this show. Now, as most of you know, Curious Times is on at 10 o'clock Eastern every single night on BTR. So check that show out tonight. I'm not sure who her guest is tonight, but I'm sure it'll be amusing either way. And so thank you. Okay, so Elementary, what, anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, Elementary basically is, you know, just about good people having, you know, doing the right thing, trying to do everything in a positive way, and then just this world we live in coming back and just sort of kicking you in the butt. And, you know, just kind of that, you know, basically saying that we're you're not alone and that we're there's others and we're all trying to do this for each other and, you know, to know that there's support there for you or for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mainly it's based on a friend of mine, and yeah, she's always been, we've always had that kind of relationship, you know, that we've always been very, very good friends. It's one of the few relationships I've had with a woman that stayed that way, you know, that we just really never changed it from a friendship. And she's an amazing person. I've learned so much from her and, you know, really that's the way that we are. It's like, we're both trying to be the best people that we can be and, you know, life is just hard sometimes, and it's just the support that we give to each other to just keep going.
Right, right. That's great. And also, one of our listeners just bought a song, one of your songs that I played, so that's cool.
Oh, great. Thank you very
and
much.
Hopefully, yeah. Thank you, Jackie. And again, John Andrews, loudboy.net. And you can pick up some songs there. And this next one is called Elementary. And we'll be back. We'll be back right after. Thank you, guys. I love that, John. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
You got to give me permission to play these if I want to and on my future
show. Oh, yeah,
shows.
No, by all means, please. Play them as much as you want.
I will.
Great.
And also, and Chris wants to know at Curious Times if she can also play them on her show.
Oh, of course. Really, it would be an honor. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Because now there's a thing where we're not supposed to be playing music without the permission. The streaming rights.
You definitely have my permission. It's all good.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, John. Okay, so we just have a few minutes left. We'll say, Chris is saying in the chat, we'll say your website, loudboy.net, every time we play it. Yeah, so hopefully it'll get some people, turned on to you.
Great.
So is there anything that you wanted to say that we haven't talked about tonight?
Oh, I think we've touched on so many things. I think I just want to say hello to my family, my parents, and my sisters, Christine and Cindy. And, And thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming into my dream. And
yeah, definitely. I hope to see you there again.
Yeah. And no, maybe John, one day I can go see you actually play. That would be
definitely.
So
I will
cool
definitely let you know when I'll be playing in the area again for sure.
Mhm. Thank you so much. And once again, John Andrews, loudboy.net, and thanks again to Chris for helping me out tremendously with this show. And thanks to all of you guys for showing up tonight, buying John's songs, and just being phenomenal support to me over all this time. Okay, so we're gonna check out now. And John, I'm going to send this to you in the email so you will be able to put it on your website if you'd like to. And hopefully we can get you on again in the future. That would be really cool if we could,
I would love to. It would be my pleasure, really.
Okay. And thank you so much for your words and your inspiration and everything. And I hope you always, always sing and write songs.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. And yeah, it was really been my pleasure. And thank you so much for reaching out to me. And I'm so glad we did this. So I definitely look forward to doing it again.
Me too. Okay, thanks so much, John. And thanks, you guys. Good night, and I'll see you soon. Actually, I'm going to be on Spaced Out Radio tomorrow night, which is at 1 in the morning Eastern Standard Time, as one of the roundtable people. So check that out. And my next show is next week sometime. I got to figure that out, too. Okay, good night, you guys. And remember, take care of each other, and thank you so much.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
to you by purpleplates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.